Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The FAO Thursday estimated that global wheat production will be 695 million metric tons, an increase of 5.4% from the year earlier, and that corn production will rise 10% on the year to around 960 million metric tons, with most of the increase coming from the U.S. This morning, remember that USDA will weigh in on its latest ending stocks estimates for both old and new crop corn and other grains and oil seeds this morning at 11 o'clock. And one program note, we'll have coverage of that report during the trading day at 12:20 this afternoon. Our guest will be Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he will look and tell us what the trade reaction to the report was and how the report plays out over the next 30 days. Meanwhile, Buenos Aires Cereals Exchange says that Argentina's corn harvest progressed slowly over the past week due to showers, as farmers also focused on harvesting the soybean crop. The exchange held its forecast for commercial corn production at 24.8 million metric tons, and the exchange says that 40.5% of the corn crop in Argentina has been harvested. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,074, down 8 points. The NASDAQ, 3420, up 11.5. And the S&P 500 is 1627. It is up almost 1 point. Joining us now with a look at the weekend weather forecast is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will likely experience some much-needed improving weather as we move forward through this weekend and into next week. The majority of the precipitation that's been plaguing places like Iowa and Missouri and Illinois, even the southwest corner of Indiana and areas down into the Delta and the Tennessee River Basin, will all come to an end. We did see some more rain occur across these areas overnight, and it looks like the precipitation pattern is starting to break down already today, and we'll see a lot of the region turning dry as we move into Saturday. The biggest concern, of course, for the Midwest this weekend will be the frost that will likely occur across many areas in the region. Freezes will be common in the north. In fact, from the eastern Dakotas over to Michigan, we'll expect to see extreme lows in the middle and upper 20s. But in areas to the south, it should be mostly 30-degree readings that occur. There will be some freezes in at least a few areas in southern Iowa, northwestern Illinois, northeastern Indiana, and northwestern Ohio. Any freezes that occur south of that region would likely be extremely localized events, and they would probably result in temperatures dropping to about 31 or 32 degrees and no colder. That should help to prevent any kind of significant permanent yield-reducing losses in production as a result of this cold weather bout. But areas further to the north will be a little bit colder, and we'll need to watch closely. If for some reason the temperatures fall down lower than what we expect, then of course the damage potential for production might be a little bit more significant. We do think that vegetative growth will be hurt for both wheat and corn, but it shouldn't kill the crops, and we still should maintain the production potential that exists today as we move into that cold period. Coldest mornings will be Sunday and Monday. On Tuesday morning, we'll see cold air still in Virginia and portions of North Carolina, where there will still be a risk of some damage. We do expect a big warming trend to take place after we get to a Monday afternoon across the heart of the Midwest, and will continue through at least midweek next week. There will be also an increasing wind across some of the western portions of the Corn Belt, and that, in combination with warmer temperatures, should help to dry down some areas a little bit more quickly. We will expect the warmer and drier biased weather to last into the Tuesday-Wednesday time period, But at that point, there will be a cool front that will cut through the Midwest, and it's not likely to be a very active frontal boundary, at least not initially. So almost all of the northwestern half of the corn and soybean production region will likely not see significant precipitation as the cooler air comes into the region. The southeast half, however, will likely see rain and will likely see amounts increase as this frontal boundary progresses to the southeast. So areas from Missouri into parts of Ohio and southern Michigan may see quarter to three-quarter inch totals. Maybe even a few locations may be getting upwards around 1 inch. This frontal boundary, though, doesn't have a lot of moisture to work with and may not prove to be very significant. We will expect the second week of the two-week outlook, though, to trend a little bit more ugly across the region. There's a big debate, a general divergence in the models here today about what will happen during the week of the 18th through the 24th. During that period of time, at least one of the models out there, in fact, two of them, are suggesting that we will likely see an increase in rainfall, with many areas to pick up on 1 to 2 inches of moisture during that period of time. I think the precipitation is probably overdone, but we'll likely see some increase in precipitation during that period of time. I would imagine that we'll see a half to 1.5 inches in local 2-inch totals during that period. We will also see our temperatures cool down. A lot of 70s and 80s are expected for high temperatures this coming week as we get involved with the warmer weather. Be aware, though, hard red winter wheat country will see 80 and 90 degree temperatures Monday and Tuesday. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat, 776 and a quarter, down 3. July wheat in Chicago at 717 and a half, down 6. May corn, 693, down 1.5. July, 645, down 3.75. December, 536 and a half, down 5. May soybeans, 1494 and a quarter, up 3. July, 1408 and 3/4, unchanged. November, 1216, down 3. May soybeans meal, 442.10, up $2. July, 414.80, up 160. May soybean oil, 49.12, up a nickel. July at 48.94, down 28. June live cattle, 120.35, down 20. May feeders, 135.55, down 20. And May lean hogs, 91.62.5, down 37.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
I'll start with this because I want to be sure we have enough time to cover it. Today is a report day. We got crop production for wheat. We have WASDE numbers, including the new crop 13-14 numbers. What are you anticipating?
Well, I think we're going to see and really all I can say or, you know, look at is what the trade's expecting, I think. They're expecting some decrease as far as the corn ending stocks from what the February outlook numbers were, about the same on beans and about the same basically on wheat. I think one thing that they're going to be looking at is the demand numbers on the corn and whether they drop them some from the February outlook report. Maybe the most important number, or two things that I guess I feel are important. One is the wheat. I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see where the hard wheat comes in. Soft wheat looks like it's pretty good shape, but hard wheat's been struggling. And the other thing I think are the world numbers, and if they put in there some big increases in some of the South American crop and other areas of the world, I guess I think that could be a negative to the markets. But I guess I would expect that the reaction be fairly short-lived to the report, and then people prepare for the weekend by getting their positions covered.
I think people will want to know how USDA will get to their 13-14 ending stock estimates for corn. In the first place, they're going to look is at carry-in from 12 and 13, because given the good basis we've had, will they lower the carry-in? And then they're going to look and see what kind of yield numbers they put on it.
Yeah, I think that's, we talked about this before, Dave. I think really this carry-in number, you know, how much we're going to have at the end of this year with the lateness of the crop that we're seeing now is a big deal. And that's, you know, basis levels out here are strong. That's what got into yesterday's market. That's one of, I guess, what I see this morning is four factors. One is the report. The other is the cash basis levels that we're seeing out here, the tight supplies, the macros, the outside markets are negative this morning. And then I think the weather, of course, is a factor. But the trade still doesn't seem willing to trade the late crop at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's not unusual. It's hard to rally the market on wet weather, it seems like.
And then very quickly, a comment about the weather. We come back on Sunday night. If the weather shows not open planning, what does it look like for the market next week?
Well, I think with the basis, the numbers that we've had, and if we get a poor planning forecast, I think we could see a little bit jump higher. It looks to me like this morning the cold temperatures on Monday morning are a little bit warmer than they were, and the rain for next week has been moved up a little bit. As Drew said on his thing, the big question is what happens the following week there as far as rainfall.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick, May corn, 692, down 2.5. July, 645 and a quarter, down 3.5. And December at 536, down 1.5. May beans, 1494 and a half, up 3.25. July, 1409 and a half, up 3/4. And November, 1216 and 3/4, down 2.25. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD.